Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about some rumors that have surfaced on the Cybertruck and a couple other topics. We've got a little bit more news on full self-driving. Of course, the FSD subscription has now dropped, as we talked about in the live stream on Friday. And we've got some news on Tesla Energy and a couple other topics as well. Pretty decent start to the week for Tesla stock today in the final week before earnings. Tesla finishing up 0.3% to $646.22. So not a huge gain, but that was with the NASDAQ finishing down about 1.1%. So a pretty significant overperformance from Tesla. However, I would point out that ARKK, ARK Innovation ETF today was up by about 0.6%, which I just mentioned to note that other high growth stocks also outperformed the market today. All right, first up here, we're going to talk about a topic that I think has incited the most discussion in Tesla communities over the weekend, and that is this rumor that Troy Teslak is reporting on. Here on Twitter, he says, "I've heard that Tesla is planning to start production at Giga Texas with Cybertruck, not the Model Y. Also, Cybertruck will have 4680 cells and a structural battery pack, which will be built in Texas too." So Troy shared this on Twitter and then a few other details on Patreon. I today want to talk about these. Generally, this is something that I probably wouldn't go into as much detail on, but in this case, I do happen to have the same source as Troy does. So I've already confirmed this is from one source, and it is the same source for both of us. So I'm not bringing this up to offer any sort of separate confirmation for what Troy is saying here, but more so to increase the transparency as much as I can so that we can understand exactly what was said and how credible the information may or may not be. All right, so again, in the interest of transparency, here is just a screenshot of the direct message conversation that I had with this source. You can see from the timestamp that this is before Troy shared out that information, so it's not just someone repeating his information back to me. And you can also see a couple of blurred sections. We will talk about the information in those sections, but the specific words are blurred just to protect anonymity. As for the credibility of this person, I have not had the opportunity to validate any past rumors from this source, so I can't really speak much to their credibility, but I would say from the conversations that we have had, they do seem to have some sort of connection, some sort of insight, but this person is just telling me about those conversations. This person is not within Tesla. So take that statement in its entirety for what it's worth. So the Cybertruck is a part of this, but we'll just go chronologically here, starting in the top left, going down, and then it's divided into three sections. But the first rumor here is that it seems all German brands have delivered cars to Tesla for supercharger access. They say Volkswagen, BMW, Mercedes, Audi, Porsche, etc. All cars are delivered to Tesla and prepped for supercharger access. And they also say that a Volkswagen Golf, e-Golf, is fully charged in 15 minutes. So definitely not the first time we've heard about potentially opening up the supercharger network. Elon has always said that's a possibility under the right circumstances. And back in March, we did have that company call where the details were leaked. And apparently on that call, Elon had spoken about opening up the supercharger network with an adapter and an app. So I wouldn't find that to be terribly surprising. I would rate that as relatively credible. But this VW e-Golf charging in 15 minutes does throw me off a little bit. First, because the e-Golf is discontinued and the older e-Golfs had a max charge rate of 40 kilowatts. So supercharger access wouldn't really unlock a quicker charge for them anyway. Plus, the e-Golf has about a 36 kilowatt hour battery or about 32 kilowatt hours usable. So even if we just use the lower number there and say, okay, of the 32 kilowatt hours usable, if they're going from 10% to 90%, probably the most forgiving definition of a quote unquote full charge, that would mean adding about 25.5 kilowatt hours in 15 minutes or a charge rate of 102 kilowatts on average, which would actually exceed the Model 3's rate of charge after about 60% or so, which at that state of charge, the Model 3 would be pretty darn close to having the same remaining battery capacity to be filled still as the size of the e-Golf battery. So unless I'm misinterpreting something, that would mean essentially a better charging performance from the e-Golf on the supercharger than the Model 3 is able to do. Maybe I'm missing something, but there's enough there for me to be skeptical of that point. Continuing on, this part seems to be a little bit more speculative. They say, quote, "It looks like a deal to get Berlin running. The original plan was to have Berlin up and running in April 2021. It now seems that it will be December or maybe January. There's a lot of friction, legal actions, issues with employees that want to start working for Tesla but get sued, etc. Supercharger access looks like the deal from Elon to get things going again," end quote. I think most of these things we have heard about, specifically on employees. Elon has talked about this in the past in the Q2 call last year. Elon had said that one of his biggest concerns was low labor mobility in Europe. He talked about garden leave, which sometimes employers require, just a period of inactivity before someone is able to go to a different job, sort of like a non-compete clause. So it sounds like Tesla here, if this rumor is accurate, still having some challenges with that. I think supercharger access would be sort of a weird bargaining chip in that regard, but there are a lot of other things that the source here mentions too, so maybe those aren't tied directly. And again, that part does seem to be a little bit more speculative in nature. Next part here, 13,500 Model Y will be imported to Europe from China this quarter. I don't find much to be particularly noteworthy about that until maybe we get a little bit more context from what's actually staying in China, but we'll keep that in mind for later. Next, there is no known date for when the announced supercharger access would be open for other brands. They do say it will not be in Norway alone, it will be Europe all at once. They're not sure on the US. Next, getting to Texas and the Cybertruck, they do say that the structural battery pack will be made in Texas, and that the first Cybertruck will roll out of the factory in October. So remember how Troy had reported this, is that the Cybertruck would be the start of production in Texas, not the Model Y. But I think there's an important distinction here because the source did not actually say that. They only are talking about Cybertruck alone in October. That doesn't necessarily have to be before the Model Y. And I actually asked as a follow-up here that's not on the screen, but I asked about the Model Y. They said they didn't have any information on that, just the Cybertruck. So that being ahead of the Model Y, that's an inference made by Troy that's not actually coming from the original source. Whether we consider this rumor or not, I do think the Model Y is going to come first because, first of all, Tesla has built Model Ys before. There's less new technology involved in them than there will be for the Cybertruck. That remains true even if it is a next generation sort of Model Y. The Cybertruck has a bunch of new equipment that's going to be required just because of the exoskeleton design that the Cybertruck is using. Elon has talked about this in the past, and we've also heard from Idra that they did get an order for an 8,000 ton gigapress back in March, and I don't think we've seen that ship yet. Though we have seen the 6,000 ton gigapresses that definitely seem like they'll be used for the Model Y already on site and actually making test parts. So that all points to Model Y, and then if we look at Tesla's quarterly update, they for the last couple of quarters have said that the Model Y is in construction at Texas and the Cybertruck is only in development. It seems clear that construction is a further stage in the process than development. So I continue to believe that the Model Y will be first out of Giga Texas before the Cybertruck. But if this rumor is correct on the timing for the Cybertruck, maybe the Model Y would be even ahead of that. Or maybe Tesla is targeting the same timeline on both. The other tweet that I keep coming back to was this exchange between Tesla Owners Online and Elon Musk back in April. Tesla Owners Online shared a photo of the Cybertruck at Giga Texas. Elon replied saying he was just there driving the Cybertruck around the site where it will be built. Tesla Owners Online then saying, "Nice, looks like the factory is coming along great. Still on time for some deliveries later this year." And then Elon shifted it over to Model Y, saying, quote, "Limited production of Model Y this year, high volume next year," end quote. So even though all the context there about the Cybertruck, specifically asking about Cybertruck deliveries later this year, Elon shifted to answering, saying Model Y limited production this year. At a minimum, that seems to imply more confidence in the Model Y timeline and that happening this year. And at the time, I definitely took that as a sign that maybe the Cybertruck was going to be a little bit later. So that's kind of the thought process I've been operating on. I am pretty skeptical of the October date, but, you know, Tesla has aggressive timelines. Maybe that is their timeline. But reality could still even come 6 months later. I mean, look what we just went through with the refreshed S and X. First deliveries for the S. Elon was thinking that it would happen a few weeks from the announcement, and it ended up being more like 4 months. So October would be amazing. Tesla does still say, as we've talked about, production in 2021 on the website when ordering a Cybertruck. But even with this rumor, that is not how I'm going to set my expectations. All right, rounding out these rumors then, this person says that the German brands might also buy the internal chargers from Tesla for new models, which I could definitely see being the case if they do tie into the supercharger network. The rest here is then just me trying to figure out if the source is the same here for me and Troy. Confirmed that, and then also confirmed with Troy that it was just from the one source. So even this source saying that it would be nice if we could get another confirmation. Then I ask about levels of confidence, if this person was more confident in some of this than other pieces, but they said same level across the board. As for the blurred out sections, basically they were just saying that European management has been making some poor decisions for Tesla, lots of people leaving, and then the second blurred out section there, once Texas is fully operational, Fremont would be either shut down or retooled. Elon has mentioned that possibility in the past. So that is the information I have. As I said, normally I wouldn't report on this in as much detail unless I was confident in the source from prior conversations, or unless I did have a second source to back it up. But because this was a topic dominating the conversation over the weekend, felt like I had to cover it and wanted to share that as transparently as possible. All right, next we've got a couple of new details on FSD following the launch of the subscription. Last Friday, we had a live stream to talk about that, so watch that to catch up if you're an audio listener. But just a couple of details. Tesla did post a frequently asked questions section, and I think the only new information there that we didn't talk about on Friday is on cancellations. So you can cancel FSD subscription at any time. There are no monthly prorations though. So if you cancel, you still pay for that full month, but you also get the features for the full month, of course, too. I think that's a good setup because then you don't have people buying and canceling just for single day's use for like $6 a day. That would create a huge incentive to cancel if you're not using your car very much. As for the price, that was obviously heavily debated over the weekend too. I think we didn't really talk a ton about that on Friday because, as I said, this was right in line with my expectations. So I don't think I need to belabor it too much, but over the weekend reflecting on it, I'm still happy with the price that Tesla chose. Yeah, maybe the features themselves aren't worth $200 a month right now. I probably wouldn't pay $200 a month right now, even though I did buy FSD. But there are going to be some people that are perfectly happy paying that even for the current feature set. There are going to be plenty of people that pay for it, use it for a month, and then maybe they don't feel like it's quite worth it, but they still want auto lane change, which is a great feature, and they just end up continuing to subscribe anyway. And of course, Tesla should be pricing the feature about where they think they're going to be soon, not necessarily exactly where they are today. That's the great part of a subscription. People don't need to opt in until they feel like it's worth the money. I think from a consumer perspective, it's going to be a lot easier to get away with lowering a subscription price than increasing it, and that's actually something I worry about a little bit. How customers would react if Tesla did increase the subscription price at some point in time. I think it's a little bit different than Netflix, where, okay, you just cancel it and not have Netflix anymore. Customers didn't spend tens of thousands of dollars for the device that can access Netflix. If Tesla ends up raising the price at some point, you're going to have customers complain that, well, if I would have known Tesla was going to raise the price, I would have just bought it. So I think that may be a little bit tricky. I don't know if Tesla ever intends to raise the price beyond this. And I think once robotaxis, if and when they become a thing, Tesla can explore different sort of models for subscription. But as things stand for now, I would definitely prefer Tesla to err on the high side rather than low, which seems to be a little bit different than the consensus thought that I've been seeing out there. Anyway, now that the subscription has dropped, Elon replying to a question about when a wider rollout would happen, Elon saying, quote, "Wide beta, maybe with FSD, Rev 10, definitely with Rev 11, end quote. Which, sentence structure-wise, sounds dangerously close to Elon's infamous 3 months, maybe 6 months, definitely statement in the past. So take that for what it's worth. There's no explicit timeline there, but Elon did reply to another question about that timeline, asking if that meant about a month per release, and Elon saying, roughly. Elon then also clarifying that yes, by wide beta, he did mean the button. So beta for anyone that wants to download it that has FSD. The other little detail that we got here is that Smart Shift, or Auto Shift from Park, as I guess it's technically known right now, will be coming to all cars with FSD as an optional setting. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a part of the FSD package. Elon might just be saying that it's not going to be for the older cars. Tesla certainly could decide to tie that into the FSD option package, but I don't think that's a certainty just from this tweet. Next here, a bit of pretty cool marketing from Tesla. Tesla has been added to PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds mobile game, better known as PUBG Mobile, which is an online battle royale game with 30 million daily active users. So Elon tweeted out a little trailer of Tesla in the gameplay. PUBG has shared a few videos as well on YouTube. Basically, in the game, Tesla has built a Gigafactory. Users are going to have to build and assemble a Model Y, and then after they do that, they can drive the Model Y around autonomously. Both the Cybertruck and the Roadster are in the game as well, and then the Semi is too. Users can drive around and actually kind of get items out of the Semi if they damage it. So kind of fun and a lot more involved than just the vehicle simply being in the game. It's actually interwoven with the story. Whether or not Tesla is paying for any of this or if the game just wanted to have Tesla in it is not clear. Next here is an event to be on the lookout for from Elon this Wednesday. Elon will be participating in the B-Word Bitcoin conference, as we had previously talked about. Elon said he was down to have a discussion with Jack Dorsey. Looks like Cathie Wood is actually going to be joining that as well. Cathie, of course, of ARK Invest. And both Jack and Cathie are big supporters of Bitcoin. Whereas Elon has obviously said that he is a supporter of Bitcoin in the past, but has also made critical comments about Bitcoin since then, which has garnered a harsh reaction, let's say, from the Bitcoin community. So it'll be really interesting to hear that discussion. Obviously, is going to receive a lot of media attention as well. I wouldn't expect a ton of overlapping commentary on Tesla other than the information that we already know, which would be Tesla's position and the reason they took that position, having a highly liquid asset that could still appreciate, no longer accepting transactions because of high environmental costs, etc. But we'll see, I guess you never know. Bitcoin Magazine says that this event is scheduled to begin Wednesday, July 21st at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. That would be 4 p.m. UTC. I'm not sure if that's the start of the overall event or if that is the time for the discussion between Jack, Cathie, and Elon. If I do see anything else on the timing, I'll definitely pass that along. Next, here's some interesting news on Tesla Energy. Tesla has created a new page on their website, this time not for the Megapack, but for the Powerwall, saying join the Tesla Virtual Power Plant Beta. Tesla writes, quote, "The California grid operator forecasts a continued need for Californians to support the grid through 2021. Help create the largest distributed battery system in the world and avoid dependence on the least efficient fossil fuel power plants. Opt in to the Tesla Virtual Power Plant, and Tesla will dispatch your Powerwall when the grid needs support while continuing to maintain your energy security," end quote. So we know Tesla has tested out virtual power plant projects before, specifically in Australia, but this would be a new level of scale, Tesla saying it could potentially be over 50,000 power walls. Not a ton of details beyond that, other than just describing what a VPP, virtual power plant, is, but they do say eligibility details will be announced soon, and that owners can enroll in the VPP starting July 22nd. So we'll keep an eye out for any new information on that later this week. The 22nd is Thursday. All right, lastly here then, just a quick correction from last week's episode. We talked about a long-range made-in-China Model 3 and that being removed from the design studio. That is actually not correct, or at least the timing is not correct. I had to go all the way back to December on the Wayback Machine to see a long-range show up in the China design studio for the Model 3. So my full-hearted apology on that one. So no new information there to consider in the context of the standard range Model Y introduction or the Model Y being exported to Europe. I'm not sure exactly why so much old news made its way across my desk last week, but it is on me, and I will be more diligent about that going forward. But whenever I catch a mistake like that, it's important for me to let you know I'll always try to do that. So with that being said, that is it for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, July 20th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.